BBC. Holby City. Starring Sarah Jane Potts as Edie, Rosie Marshall as Jack, James Anderson as Oliver, and Edward McLean as Greg. Previously,
I want to speak to whoever's in charge.
Sure. That would be me.
If I don't transfer her here, then where?
I'm going to tell you this one more time. We are full.
Oh, giving it last night, were we, to celebrate?
No, never. Not the night before a new job.
So it's her heart that's not working properly.
I want to be like you. Proper job, proper contract. You're so, sorted.
I'm not fit to do this, am I? I'm not.
Do you want another coffee or something?
So what, did she just walk? What did you say to her?
Nothing. I just tried to get her to sign for the MRI.
Did she?
No.
The Corsa made you local parentis so you can go ahead with the scan.
This is my job now, and I'm not going to mess it up.
Under the Skin by Rob Williams. Morning. Edie is standing outside Holby City, wearing dark glasses, a leather jacket and a backpack. She swigs from a bottle of water before entering the hospital, where she dumps the half-empty bottle on a passing stretcher. She buys a coffee and carries it up to the top of the building. She removes her glasses and opens the door onto the roof. The bright sunlight dazzles her, forcing her to shut her eyes and take a deep breath. Then she wanders out onto the roof with her coffee, looking worse for wear. She steps up onto a small metal gantry, again with her eyes closed, and raises her face to the sky, spreading her arms. Then, as she lowers her head and opens her eyes, she sees something which causes her to drop her coffee. A man is peering over the railings on the edge of the building in front of her.
Don't do it!
The man turns to face her.
Okay. What? Don't do what?
Greg delivers some copies to the Darwin ward.
Oh, you shouldn't have, Mr. Douglas. I got my own.
I didn't. You always do.
Oh, what are you still doing here?
Good morning to you, Miss Naylor. And I actually haven't left yet.
I think that's my point.
None of us have, Jack. Been here since last night.
Good shift.
Why?
Mr. Dolan authorised it until we get the results of the MRI.
I take it the mother's not back then?
No.
Still no peds, no CT beds at St. Joseph's. I didn't want to move Freya downstairs until we knew if she needed specialist care. Your guys wanted to hang around just in case, but you've got a great team here.
When they're doing the job they're paid to.
Sahira, chase that scan. This isn't a crash.
Well, I think I've just established that you're not about to throw yourself off the building.
Wasn't about to. I'm ruling nothing out now.
Ugh, my point is, it was a perfectly logical assumption.
That anybody on a roof must be suicidal.
Not really.
Listen, it is out of bounds up here, all right, to everyone.
Including you.
It's less out of bounds to me than it is to you.
Why?
Doesn't matter. What are you doing here?
I'm trying to be alone for 5 minutes.
Eddie shrugs and takes a greasy bacon sandwich out of her handbag.
Do you want some?
Are you drunk?
Shouldn't be by now. Ugh. I am, however, unreasonably hungover.
And therefore suicidal.
What?
I'm simply applying your logic, you know, the roof.
Listen, smart ass, you don't have to be on a roof to be on your own, all right? Whereas there is actual logic behind why I'm up here. Fine, look, there are 4 vital ingredients after a big night out. 1, the dirty bacon sandwich. 2, coffee. 3, water and paracetamol. 4, get yourself up as high as you possibly can, find the spot where the wind hits you the hardest, and you take in so much oxygen you almost pass out. 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
It's a bit crude, isn't it? In the Philippines, they swear by a breakfast of pickled shrimp, frog's legs and beetle larva.
Does it work?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you'd actually been.
I have, but I don't drink.
Why not?
Well, so I don't end up looking like you.
She looks offended.
Excuse me.
The man squeezes past, and Eddie reconsiders her vacant sarnie. Jack approaches Sean and Sahira, who are standing over by baby Freya.
Well, MRI results.
They're on their way.
Has that been infection screened? I thought there was a reason they were only given plastic toys to break.
And here's me thinking you knew nothing about Pete's.
It's brand new, Jack. The Darwin team chipped in to try and make this place a little less unfriendly.
What exactly is the problem?
The problem, Peter Pan, is that she shouldn't be here, and nor should you. This is an adult ward.
So I'm not an adult?
I don't know what you are, but I'm certain that this is no place for a six-month-old baby.
So it's Freya you're worried about,
What do you think?
Well, it's a shame you didn't show the same concern for her mother.
Oh, I see. So we're only a team when it comes to buying cuddly toys. Well, that's fine. But if you honestly think I'm the one who should be feeling guilty about a mother abandoning her child, then you've been awake too long.
Eddie's on the phone.
Yep. No, it's fine. I've got it. Thank you.
Emergency trauma from ED on its way. Blunt trauma to the abdomen.
Looks like it's going to be another busy one. Maybe Mr. Hansen will give us a day off from meeting his targets.
The man from the roof wheels a patient in.
Ah, you must be from the ED.
What's that?
Blunt trauma to the abdomen?
No, thanks. I've just eaten.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it out of bounds?
I'm sorry, it is. Actually, you can't just come wandering in and...
And that's supposed to be on display at all times.
Oh, my stomach hurts!
Her stomach hurts. And evidently, I'm your new registrar.
OK, we'll be right with you. Sorry. Luke, I'm Sasha Levy.
Sasha?
Eddie's embarrassed.
And I'm senior staff nurse, McKee.
Sean, MRI results are in.
Jack and Sahira share a somber look as they inspect the scan results. Sean is puzzled by their reaction.
Okay, I'm not seeing what you're seeing, but I'm not getting a happy vibe.
Jabodis. It's a Jabodis defect, quite a rare form of hole in the heart.
A very rare form.
Basically, there's a shunt from left to right. Blood's flowing from Freya's left ventricle into the right atrium.
Meaning it's serious?
And that Nicole was right all along.
More importantly, it means I'll now be taking sole charge of this case on behalf of Darwin. MDT meeting in half an hour. I suppose you're invited. You're not.
You're going to take over just like that?
She's my patient, remember?
Who, up until now, you didn't give a damn about? What are you up to?
I am trying to ensure that she survives a now potentially life-threatening condition. Objections?
And you think you're the best person to do that?
As the only member of the team who's managed to retain any kind of professional distance, I think I'm the only person.
Hey, heard about Freya. Had to look Jabodis up. Who saw that coming?
Nobody, which is why I'm about to chair an urgent MDT meeting. How's your research
going?
Well,
take a look for yourself. Part one fully complete.
Wow. This must have taken all night.
And some of this morning, plus way too much coffee. I really want to make a go of this.
Well, since you're enjoying it so much, can I have the second part by the end of the day? I'd really like to read the opening sections together.
Okay, well, I need to finish a few more
Jack addresses the team in the boardroom.
Well, thank you all for coming. This won't take long. You all know why we're here. Now, because Jabodis affects the membranous ventricular septum close to... I didn't realise tickets were being sold.
Oh, don't mind us.
No. I did make it clear to Miss Shah that I'll be taking this case forward.
And I did put it to Mr. Hope that there's no point having an MDT meeting with half the team missing.
Especially as Mr. Douglas and I have PEDS experience.
Unlike you, Miss Naylor.
I thought you were in theatre all day.
So did I. Shall we get on with it?
Eddie speaks to Luke.
Why didn't you tell me?
About what?
Will you make sure it's all right?
Of course.
Have you been in a fight, Karen? Has someone hurt you?
I just want to make sure that it's all right. That I can have a baby.
Are you pregnant?
No. But I will be. If it's all right, I will be. sure it's all right. I don't care how long it takes. Just need to make sure that I can
have a baby. Got it.
Look, Karen, you've got two doctors and the best nurse in the hospital looking after you, so we will find out what's going on, don't worry.
Had I been a girl, apparently, I'd have been a Karen. Your parents are big Carpenters fans too.
Karen looks panicked and confused.
Right, what do you think? Nurse?
Yeah?
Thoughts?
Chest x-ray, FBCs, U's and E's and a liver function test, Doctor.
Oh, yeah, I was actually talking about the Carpenters, but, yeah, what she said.
Eddie's baffled.
Therefore, the fastest and most effective fix is to insert a patch over tricuspid valve.
Sorry to interrupt, Miss Naylor. That's a very risky procedure. Has there been any discussion on whether this patient should even actually be treated at Holby?
Not since her diagnosis.
The patient is already at Holby, plus the PEDS unit at Oxford has closed, and St. Joe's has obviously got more kids than Neverland. There's absolutely...
Sorry.
There's no reason why Darwin shouldn't have a PEDS CT facility. All we have to do is show that we can handle it, and I can. And for the record, if you check my current CV, you'll see that there's plenty of PEDS CT experience on there.
Yes, sure, but what Freya really needs is her mother.
I tend to agree. I don't think we should be rushing into such a high-risk procedure yet, especially without Mum here.
You can live without a dysfunctional mother, but you can't live without a functioning heart. And it could deteriorate rapidly any time. What about the pressure on pulmonary circulation?
Monitor her until there's evidence of hypertension.
So we can wait?
I think so, for the time being, yes. Okay, thank you.
Hang on, you want to leave an unexploded bomb in a baby's chest where we could deal with it today?
We could do, but...
She's already got severe pulmonary hypertension.
Right. What's the pressure?
I don't know exactly. We haven't done another echo since the diagnosis.
Well, then you should do, obviously, but the pressure would need to be as low as 50 to warrant even considering taking such a gamble.
Obviously.
Good.
Luke and Sasha are looking at Karen's test results.
No symptoms suggesting head injury, but she does seem rather simple. What?
So her being desperate to have a baby makes her simple? Wow, I thought we were in the business of compassion.
You might be. I'm in the business of trauma.
Oh, meaning you bring it or you treat it?
Meaning my post here is funded on the basis that I carry out research into trauma medicine, not pretend to be a social worker.
You're here on a hip?
Yeah. Wow, impressive.
I thought you two were supposed to be discussing Karen Nashley. I mean, I'll do what I can on the history.
That's not normally a nurse's job.
No, but then I'm not a normal nurse.
That's true, actually. And like Karen Compter said,
I won't last a day without you.
So what are we saying? Ruptured spleen?
Ruptured spleen.
Ruptured spleen.
I want the full scan sent to my office as a priority, OK?
Ms. Naylor?
Can it wait?
Bit of a problem, actually. To finish the next section, I need to corroborate our polytrauma figures with data from orthopaedics.
And
no one from ortho is available today. So, what do I do? Ms. Naylor.
Dr. Valentine, one of the reasons I wanted to work with you on this was I was hoping that when circumstances demanded, you'd step up and take the initiative.
Sean smirks.
Leave it to me.
Who says I don't know what it's like to have children?
Well, I'm pleased to report that you can forget about this one.
What?
I spoke to St. Joseph's again, calling in a few favours. They'll have a bed for Freya first thing tomorrow.
But tomorrow might be too late.
If I didn't know you better, Miss Naylor, I'd say you were hoping Freya's that sick.
Top priority.
The technician nods. Then Jack glares at Sean before silently walking off. Sasha is operating on Karen.
So what do you think of the new guy, then?
Need scalpel, please. Thank you. He seems all right. Suction.
Oh, I don't like the look of that. Tumours?
Well, could be, but... Sorry, can you ask Mr. Hemingway to pop in, please?
He is still just a registrar, you know, Sasha. You are supposed to be equals.
I wish. He's a fellow in trauma and vascular. Do you know what that means?
He's twice as annoying.
He does seem a little diffident.
Does that mean superior?
It's not easy being the new boy. We should give him a chance.
Should we?
Blunt forceps, please.
Luke strolls into theatre.
Greetings, Mr. H. Now, I don't think that it's just Karen's spleen that's the problem. What do you think?
About what, specifically?
Well, the tumours.
They definitely are, yes.
Cancerous?
Luke shrugs.
Well, I'll finish up here and send one to oncology.
OK. Is that all?
He looks down at Karen.
Get any more of her history?
I've been a bit busy.
Oh, well, you might want to start with Her Majesty's Hotel Group. Those are prison tattoos.
Well, how do you know that?
I did a 12 stretch in Belmarsh.
Eddie and Sasha share a look of astonishment. Jack brings up Freya's file on her computer. The baby's pulmonary pressure reads 70. Jack considers. Now she's in Hansen's office.
Well, what do you think?
You haven't heard, have you? Not listened to the radio today?
As I've just finished explaining, I have been rather busy.
After being all over the media for all the wrong reasons, the local news is now carrying a report about our foundling. It's a small story so far, but how long before it becomes a big one about how we lost the mother?
Nobody lost the mother. She walked out. And surely you can see that this is an opportunity to create some publicity instead of being fearful of it.
What exactly do you want, Miss Naylor?
To operate today.
I see.
Do you? Holby performs miracle op on abandoned baby. Can you see that?
I can see motherless infant dies at crisis hospital, and that doesn't bear thinking about. Why are you talking to me about this anyway, not your colleagues on Darwin?
Because I'm being undermined by bleeding hearts and a nursemaid in a novelty watch. You're signing off surgery, and I know I can rely on you not to let your heart rule your head. And incidentally, if you're still overseeing theatre lists, then several of my team have said they're light today. Mr. Hope, in particular. It's a simple patch.
How simple?
I'm not saying it's totally without risks, but operating is no more dangerous than not.
And yet my understanding was that not was the decision of the MDT.
Unless the echo showed pulmonary pressure around 50.
Did it?
Yes, it did.
Karen's lying in bed, gazing at a photograph. Eddie approaches.
You're still in a lot of pain. Is everything okay? Will I still be able to have a baby?
You ruptured your spleen, Karen, but we successfully repaired it.
I used to have a baby once, you know.
Really?
Karen shows her the photograph. It's of a baby.
That's Matty.
He's lovely.
Yeah. But I wasn't quite ready to have a baby. That's what they said. And they was right, really. So they took him away. And I'm... Well, anyhow, Matty's happy. And I'm ready to have a baby now, I am. Aren't I?
I'm going to go grab one of the doctors who will bring you up to speed with everything that's going on, and I'll get you something for your pain, OK?
As Eddie steps out of the cubicle, Luke walks into her, but he doesn't say anything.
I think you're wrong, you know, about the prison. I've called them all, and social services are going to get back to me, but from what she's just said about her son...
Well, she's bred already.
He was taken away.
Oh, there you go.
Have you had a complete sympathy bypass?
Would it affect her diagnosis either way?
Maybe not. But judging people on this ward too quickly can be a big mistake, trust me.
What about her actual physical health? Anything on that?
Well, she's breathless and she's still in pain. Oh, and someone still needs to tell her the news.
Did they? If someone told me I was going to die, I'd hope they had irrefutable evidence first. That's a prescription pad.
No wonder they made you a fellow.
Double fellow. You don't check with a doctor before prescribing?
Not always.
Even after a big night out?
No, Mr. Hemingway. Not even then. I gave Miss Morgan her injections. Do you want to see?
Is there anything to see?
No.
Right. I'll leave it then.
You're working with us today. Cool. How's the poor kiddie doing?
Well, she's in Miss Naylor's care, so I'm sure she'll be fine.
Oliver hurries after Dan.
I say, it all seems very laid back compared to what I'm used to.
Well, with Jack as your mentor, Camp Bastion would probably feel like Centre Parks to you.
Well, perhaps it's the difference between our disciplines, orthopaedics being that much less demanding.
Do me a favour, Oliver. Just for today, forget what Ms. Naylor says and make up your own mind, if only in the name of research.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, some may look at you two with your matching flowers and think you was a couple, not me.
Kenny, this is Dr. Valentine.
Ooh, pleased to meet you, I'm sure.
Mr. Tolson was a passenger on a motorbike doing 60 miles an hour. Then he wasn't. How are you feeling?
Right as rain, man. You know, I'm looking round at all these sick people wondering what I'm doing here. Honestly, you needn't worry about me. Ah, flesh wound.
Femur's fractured, obviously. The ED cleaned it up, but whilst we're waiting on the x-rays, I'd like all the exposed tissue cut away, please.
You want me to do it?
Well, you did say you'd help.
Okay, fine. On my own?
Oh, don't worry, Flower. I'll be here.
Karen? Karen? Karen, can you hear me? Karen? I need you to take nice, big, deep breaths for me, OK? Karen?
Can you hear me? What did you give her?
Morphine, but not very much. Karen?
Well, it doesn't tend to matter when you're allergic to it. What do we give for opioid OD?
Narcan, but there's no mention of allergies in her notes. Karen!
Oh, well, we should probably still try and save her life, though, don't you think?
Eddie moves off in a fluster and knocks over a glass and Karen's photo. She senses Luke's judgmental stare.
Look, I know what you're going
to
say.
They think they've come to prep my patient for theatre.
Yes, I meant to get here first. Stop for a second.
But you didn't. Freya's going to St. Joseph's.
I'm afraid not. The echo suggests that we can't hold off on the repair after all.
But Mr. Hope told you to wait.
Yes, and Mr. Hansen decided otherwise. Look, I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner, but I will keep you fully updated from now on.
Fully updated? I'm her consultant.
One of her consultants. And I'm trying to apologise here. Ask around and see how often that happens.
A few hours ago, you couldn't wait to get rid of us.
Yeah, what can I say? You're a grower.
I don't think so. You know what I think, Miss Naylor? I think you're prejudiced.
What?
You think you can change your mind whenever you like, and us peas are so far beneath your CT throne, I'll roll over for my belly to be tickled. What did you think I meant?
I simply want what's best for the patient.
Freya.
For Freya, yes.
I might not know as much as you about hearts, but I know about kids. And I'm telling you, you need me.
You're right, I do. I need you to put a line in her foot.
Hence the rare apology. We'll see about this.
Jack turns and looks at Freya.
I could have handled it. What?
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying I couldn't?
I wasn't aware my lips moved at all. For the record, however, I do prefer to take my own systems with me when I move to a new hospital. That includes doing all my own patient notes and all their prescriptions.
Luke, sorry, Eddie only does extra as a favour to the doctors. It just makes our life easier, that's all.
And yours, I'm sure.
Damn it. This is all much smaller than the equipment I'm used to, but fortunately, I'm a professional and able to adapt. So, this is what's called a peripheral line, OK? Now, I'm going to explain what I'm doing, as I would to any other patient. Because unlike some people, I'm not going to change the way I do my job just because you can't ask questions or because you're on your own. Not least because, as far as I'm concerned, you're better off that way. Not that I'm completely indifferent to the fact that, in hindsight, maybe I could have handled the situation with your mother a little differently. But we all have to get over that. And frankly, I'm starting to see why she ran. You're not the most scintillating company, are you? Gotcha. Don't start that. If you think a smile, or what's more likely to be an involuntary digestive reaction, is going to make me think twice about cutting you open, then you're every bit as naive as you look.
As she watches Freya, her icy demeanour starts to melt. Eddie has discovered that Karen's photo is in fact an article from a magazine about an abducted baby. She confronts Karen with the article.
You won't take it from me, will you?
How long did you keep him?
Only the day. That was all. 3 years for one day.
What, in prison? And how long do you think that 24 hours felt like to Mike's real mum? Karen?
Pull the curtain. Please.
Karen hides.
Who are they?
It's Matty. Matty's family.
How would they know you were going to be here? Did they attack you?
No, but them who did... The women on the bus, I shouldn't have got on. They'd have told them.
So now they're looking for you?
No.
Those men at the desk, were they talking about Karen?
Have they gone?
No, and yes. Miriam?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not meant to say... I'm not...
Miriam Gainsborough, released yesterday with the new name and address on the opposite side of town and strict instructions not to tell anybody anything.
So, she's two people, aren't we all? I take it the police have been called, now we know it was assault?
It's all in hand, Professor. You're an AAU now. We get all sorts down here, but there's nothing that we can't handle, right, Miss Levy?
Right, let's chase oncology. Let's get hold of Miriam's records, call Psych down to take a look at her, and I think it's time we told her what we know.
And get her out of here as soon as possible.
Well, whatever she's done, she's served her time. She's almost certainly going to die. Have you had a complete sympathy bypass?
My sympathy is with the little boy and his real family, not the weirdo that tried to run off with him. But seeing as though you're so suddenly interested, you could go tell her, can't you?
Oliver concentrates as he cuts away the dead tissue around Kenny's wound.
Let me know if you need any more pain relief.
Oh, you go for it, man. I don't feel pain.
Certainly not afraid of needles.
He's referring to the large number of tattoos on Kenny's body, one of which reads Lily Rose.
Lily Rose, your wife?
Daughter. Mm-hmm. Now I'm single. Unavailable.
Chantel grins.
How old is she?
She'd be 4. Have you not got any tattoos?
No, it's not really my style.
Why not?
Quite. Remember, Oliver, open minds today. Now, Kenny, we've got a plan. We're going to get you into theatre, saw off the bit of bone that's sticking out, and hammer whatever's left back in, OK?
Yeah.
Really?
No, Dr. Valentine, not really. I'm going to insert a guide wire and nail the femur back into place, then perform a graft using skin from the other thigh and gluing it over the top. Should be able to walk normally with some physio, and the only thing you'll lose is a bit of that tattoo. Still, seem to have plenty of others.
I'll lose the tattoo.
Think of it more as gaining a leg.
I thought you just stitch it up. Ain't it a deal?
It's not quite that simple.
No, it's not. Sorry, fellas. I can't do it. I won't do it.
Eddie brings Luke over to Karen.
Karen, Mr. Hemingway is going to bring you up to date on where we're at.
Eddie gives the magazine article about the abducted boy back to Karen and then leaves.
Right. Karen.
I think she didn't understand me. Before, I mean. I meant it was 3 years in prison. For one day with Matty. And I don't mean it was wrong. I meant it was worth it. Even when I got beat up by the other girls, or when Lenuter coughed all night, or Matty's picture in the cell. I could still remember him laughing. I never would have hurt him, you know.
So he does this Yoda thing, where he just stands there and he scratches his chin and he asks everybody else what they think. What has he actually come up with? OK, from now on, we make him come up with all the answers for himself. OK?
Jack's watching Freya in her cot. She goes over to Greg at the nurse's station.
Where's Elliot?
Stuck in theatre for the rest of his natural life. Hansen redid the theatre lists for some reason. It's not Freya, is it?
What about her?
You heard Hansen greenlit surgery?
Yeah, we were wondering how you bewitched him.
You should know. I need a second surgeon to assist.
You really thought Elliot was going to change his mind?
Well, I had to ask. Now Dr. Dolan signed off.
Dr. Dolan now, is it? What happened to Peter Pan?
Come on, Jack. Is Sean growing on you?
Oh, come on. Jack Naylor is not giving up that easily.
Wait. Before you both assume you know my mind...
What are you doing?
Pulmonary pressure was 50, right?
Might be worth checking again.
Actually, it doesn't matter. What are we going to do? Wait till she needs a full heart and lung transplant? Although I may never trust Miss Naylor's motives, her judgment's never far wrong.
You sure about this?
Are you sure about this?
Jack regards Greg with a cool gaze. Luke's walking and reading.
Oh, Mr. Hemingway, will you be accompanying your patient up to Keller?
In there? With them?
I'm sorry, our fellow's only left is out of order at the moment.
You go, I'll phone. Yes.
Luke steps away from the lift, and Eddie follows him.
So, you don't like lifts?
What's to like?
How did she take it?
Hmm?
Karen Nashley?
Oh, I didn't tell her.
Why not?
Well, I wanted to run a few more tests in light of her breathing difficulties. What do you think?
Jack's in Hansen's office.
Freya Winter?
Yes, approved and dated. I asked Dr. Dolan to inform me when you're closing.
Only when I came to see you earlier, I may have downplayed the risks.
Oh, yes, of course you did.
Sorry?
Well, I may not be a CT surgeon, but contrary to your default assumption, that doesn't make me a complete idiot. I've factored in your spin, as I do in the majority of our exchanges. Why, has something changed since we last spoke? Because I'm backing your judgment, Miss Naylor. If you've any concerns about whether this is the right course of action or not, I expect you to speak up. There's a child's life at stake.
I know what's at stake.
So has anything changed?
Nothing significant.
I suppose the thing is, it's all very well saying you could never run off and leave your baby, but you don't actually know until you're in that person's shoes, really, do you? Then again, when I have a baby, I'm never letting it out of my sight. How about you? Do you like children?
You said would.
Realisation dawns on Oliver, and he wanders over to Kenny.
You said would. When I asked how old your daughter was, you said she'd be four.
So?
Past tense. It's as if you don't see her anymore. Kenny. Why is that?
He breaks down in tears.
She was stillborn. I won't have it covered up.
Kenny. What if Mr. Hamilton can do the graft and keep at least her name intact?
Greg finishes scrubbing in next to Sean, then Jack takes his place. Jack and Sean turn to each other, and he offers her a smile, but she remains cold and serious, just like her white watch, which rests on the side next to Sean's novelty teddy bear watch.
Don't worry. There's always more bodies in a peds theatre. Just don't take chances with kids.
Jack crosses the theatre and stares nervously at Freya's tiny body sprawled across the operating table.
Thank you. Excuse me. What are you after?
Answers.
Oh, no. No, it's not, is it?
Do you know, I probably won't know for sure till I open the envelope.
A letter from the Smear and Culture Lab.
Well?
I did some work in Macedonia last year, saw the rise in reported cases there. It's the same across the whole of Eastern Europe. You mentioned the breathlessness, but it was only when Karen said she'd shared a cell with a Romanian who kept coughing through the night. Do you know, other places I've worked, when we found out that one of our patients wasn't actually dying, it was generally viewed as good news.
Oh, and these other places that you worked, did you tell your colleagues when you were testing for TB?
Usually, if they seemed even remotely interested. Look, it's the intra-abdominal strain. Rare, but a mild case. She'll be fine. What's the matter?
Nothing. No. I mean, I've only got an infectious disease from medieval times on an open ward on the same day that our director of surgery is doing a health and safety drive. No, I'm fine.
Are you still hungover?
Do you do this deliberately?
What?
Don't worry. I'll handle it.
In theatre, Jack takes the scalpel and hovers it over a line drawn on Freya's chest. She hesitates and raises the scalpel. Sean leans over her shoulder.
You know about hearts. Remember.
She closes her eyes and composes herself, then prepares to make the first incision. The staff in the AAU are wearing masks, goggles, bibs and gloves. Eddie's carrying a document entitled Infection Control Policy.
The corridor and entire ward, please. And absolutely no new admissions till they've disinfected. Oh, do you know what? I should have known you thought you were an exception.
No, I just don't like having my face covered. Also, I have to say, I think you're massively overreacting. What's the likelihood of anyone being infected in such a short space of time?
Well, that is not the point, all right? Mr. Hansen...
give him a call, shall I?
No, no, OK, we call absolutely no one. I can handle this.
You OK?
I'm fine. Karen, you are going in a room on your own for a while.
Is this my fault? I don't understand.
No, it's not your fault. I'll come and talk to you in a minute. But basically, it could be a lot worse.
I'm not so sure about that.
In an isolated room...
Come on, cheer up.
It's only until the testing kits arrive. Surely we can stand being stuck together till then. We could sing a few Carpenter songs, take our mind off it.
This is ridiculous.
Look, it might be ridiculous, but it's also hospital policy.
Could we at least have the door ajar?
And how is that isolation?
We've only just begun.
If I'd have known TB was a possibility, I'd have lined up a negative pressure room in ITU and all this would have been unnecessary.
It's still unnecessary.
Agreed.
Well, then why are we here? Why do we all have to be in one small room?
Questions, questions, questions. I told you, didn't I?
Goodbye to love.
Told him what?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Levy. What do you think? Oh, I wonder, Nurse McKee. You say just enough so that we do all the work and get to the answers ourselves. You've been doing it all day.
I've done it my whole career.
He admits it.
It's the best way I know of retaining knowledge. Being told something's fine, but you have to be told again. If you get there yourself, it tends to stick.
Socratic learning.
What the hell are you doing?
Now who's asking questions?
You know what? Sod this. I'm going in with Karen.
Eddie, don't.
Yes, good idea.
Luke holds open the door for Eddie. Jack is operating on Freya's heart.
Ready for the patch?
Greg hands over a pair of tweezers with a patch between the pincers. Jack is taken aback by how small the patch is. She finishes the job.
Hello, saline.
Sean observes as Greg pours saline over the heart. Jack looks up at Greg, and they wait.
Off bypass.
Everybody watches the monitor as the heart rate steadily increases. The heart rate reaches 120, and Jack breathes a sigh of relief. Eddie injects herself with a TB testing kit in Karen's room. Someone puts an isolation sign on the outside of the door.
Right. I'm done.
That means you can go now. Don't want to be around me, do you? Because of what I done?
Doesn't matter what I think. Or anyone else in the end.
And like I said, after a few months of treatment, you're going to be fine.
You know what that means, don't you? It means you're free. I mean, people might think they know who you are, but you're free to be who you want when you want now. Maybe two different people at the same time, if that's what you like. Have a baby, if that's what you need.
No one's ever said nothing like that to me before, they have.
Eddie gives a little smile, then turns to leave. Karen is left emotional and thoughtful. Dan, Oliver and a team of medics are operating on Kenny. Dan's hammering the exposed knee bone, and Oliver's carefully slicing skin off Kenny's other leg.
So, it went well?
She didn't say. I'm sure she would have done if it hadn't. How's it going down there?
Not great, to be honest. Doesn't seem to be going in by itself. Nurse, bring out Dillis.
A nurse reveals an enormous sledgehammer, which Dan grips with two hands. Oliver looks extremely worried and uncertain as Dan prepares to swing the hammer at Kenny's knee.
Right. Mr. Hamilton!
Dan was only joking.
Okay. Consider my preconceptions truly smashed.
You need to loosen up. I mean, whatever we do, we're at our best when we're enjoying ourselves. And we make a pretty good team. And it's good, honest work. I think you rather enjoyed getting your hands dirty.
Seriously, I never knew that orthopedics could be this much.
He stops himself.
Like this.
So why not stay?
What?
I told you I'm an F2 down. Unless you're happy being Jack's lackey.
Oliver laughs to himself. Jack's sitting outside, resting her eyes. Sean brings her a coffee.
Here's to Darwin's first official PCT procedure. How does it feel?
Honestly, the same as after every other procedure.
Which is why, if ever the action fall here, you could always make the switch to the paediatrics full time.
I thought I lacked empathy.
There are more important qualities. After I left you to put the line in Freya, I thought she'll never be able to sink a knife into her now. Now, lovely Sahira, she may be handy up there, but she wouldn't last 5 minutes on my ward.
Miss Shah might be misguided, but she does genuinely care about Freya. And not because she sees an opportunity to get her name on a sexy procedure, but because she sees a vulnerable child all alone in a place where everybody needs somebody. If you really think there are more important qualities than that, then I pity your patients. And you.
Sean, shocked by her outburst.
I'm sorry.
He gets up and walks away. Jack turns her head in the other direction, looking remorseful. Now Jack emerges from a lift inside the hospital, and Oliver catches up with her.
Therapeutic hypothermia stages 1 and 2, fully completed with relevant orthopedic data.
Right, great.
Actually told you a bit of a white lie when I saw you earlier.
Just put it in my pigeonhole, please.
I thought you wanted to read it immediately.
I'm probably not going to have time today after all.
Miss Naylor.
Just put it in the pigeonhole, please. And take that poppy off while you're at it.
Miss Naylor. Word, please, in the office.
Jack follows Elliot. The lift doors open and two people step out. A third person, in a hospital gown and attached to a drip stand, shuffles out after them. It's Karen. She moves slowly down the corridor, using the wall and her drip stand for support. Eddie discovers Karen's empty bed and a note addressed to her with her name spelt wrong. It simply reads, "Thank you, M," with a kiss. On the bed is the magazine article about the missing boy and today's newspaper with a story about Freya. Karen's watching Freya through a window.
Don't worry, little one.
Karen lets herself into the ward where Freya is being kept. She clutches at the bars of the cot, like bars of a prison cell, and watches Freya. She reaches through the bars, but Luke's voice startles her.
The thing I'm wondering is, were you really attacked? Were you? This wasn't your nearest hospital, was it? No. Did you listen to the radio? I listened to the radio. You listened to the radio? Is that where you heard about her? You'll never be nearer to a door than me, I'm afraid. Don't be scared. I understand. Not the desire for a baby, necessarily, but that's only biological and possibly one of the least interesting things about us. But the horror of being alone, of having no one to love or love you back, I don't have to share that to understand it. To really understand it. To walk up an awful lot of stairs to tell you that it's all right. It really is.
She breaks down, and Luke comforts her.
All right.
Luke nods to a security guard waiting outside. Then he leads Karen out. Freya's heart monitor begins to beep.
And calling me out of theatre for a 5-minute consultation was totally out of the question?
Yes.
Because?
I've told you, because Mr. Douglas offered to assist.
You should still have consulted me, and we both know why you didn't.
Really? Why is that? I came to congratulate Miss Naylor, but is there a problem?
You could say that.
I've done nothing wrong, and I don't need your permission to operate, Elliot.
It's Freya.
They rush out.
BP?
60 systolic, forgotten.
And she's tachycardic.
How long?
I was on the phone to social services.
How long?
No more than 10 minutes.
What happened?
Can only be a bleed.
Well, then we need to open her back up. What choice do we have? Miss Naylor? Miss Naylor? Would you like Mr. Hope to take over?
No, this is down to me. Paisley anaesthetist.
A downbeat Oliver removes his poppy, then observes Kenny from afar before approaching him.
How are you feeling? Any pain?
Told you I don't feel it.
In the leg?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oliver moves round the bed, waits for Kenny to give him a nod, then lifts the dressing from his leg. Underneath is a large scar across the knee and a skin graft further up the leg. Kenny is surprised and moved to see the trailing Lily Rose tattoo has been left intact.
All seems fairly satisfactory.
You'll heal in no time.
Oliver goes to leave, but Kenny holds out a hand. Oliver stops and shakes it. They share a smile. Then Oliver walks away, affected by the exchange.
Ah, Luke, where have you been?
They got her. Karen, Miriam, whatever, the police got her.
Good.
Something happened?
Nothing that I couldn't handle. Because while you were in the library, I was on the phone to the police stopping a baby on Darwin from being abducted by your mate.
It seems Karen isn't quite the reformed character you'd hoped. How is the poor little mite?
I can feel it now. What do you think about that, Socrates? Well, come off it. You've been trying to undermine me all day with your clever little comments, your constant questioning and doing your own thing. But when it really mattered, I stayed in control and as a result, saved a child's life, hopefully.
And prevented a TB epidemic. Excellent.
No, you really do run a very tight ship, Nurse McKee.
Eddie's left puzzled by Luke's comment. Jack's operating on Freya.
Suction, please.
The fact that there's a bleed doesn't necessarily mean she shouldn't have had surgery. And stopping the bleed doesn't necessarily mean that she will live through it. We're still the right call. This is not an inquest, Mr. Douglas. Yet.
Jack looks rattled.
Keep 100% oxygen.
Okay. No, still falling.
Come on.
She's going into VF. Paddles.
Hansen's watching from outside. He turns and walks away. Then Sahira approaches. He slows as she passes, and she reads his grave expression. In theatre, Elliot has just used the defibrillator paddles on Freya's heart.
Jack.
No.
Jack reaches into the cavity in Freya's chest and starts to massage her tiny heart with her fingers. Greg watches closely. Jack closes her eyes and enters a trance-like state, concentrating only on the heartbeat. Elliot rushes out of theatre.
Mr. Hope?
He walks away without speaking.
She's going to be fine. Jack was incredible in
there. Sean joins Jack in the scrub room. They wash their hands side by side.
I've never known anyone take so long scrubbing in and out as you.
Lots of sins to wash away.
Ah, not today. Listen, what I said before about empathy, what you did in there was...
I did my job, Sean. We all did. Let's just leave it at that, okay?
You called me Sean.
Tell anyone and I'll deny it.
Tell them what? That it's not just Freya's heart that's bigger than it looks?
Save it for the 10-year-olds.
Maybe I'll see you downstairs sometime, Miss Naylor.
Excuse me.
She takes Sean's teddy bear watch by accident and walks out without realising it. And Sean chuckles to himself. Luke finds Eddie in a stockroom.
Nurse.
You can come in here.
Oh, it's no need. Oh, it's only, tomorrow morning.
I won't be on the roof.
Right. Okay. It's a big roof.
It's not big enough.
With a little nod and a smile, Luke walks away. Eddie smiles to herself and watches him go. Jack's undressing in the locker room, and Oliver's sitting with his back to her.
I really need to talk to you.
And I really can't right now, so let's just catch up first thing, OK?
No, actually, not OK. I haven't slept for 2 days.
All the more reason to postpone this.
You had plenty of time to talk yesterday. I wonder why that was.
It's not that I don't have time for you. It's
that something better came up. Yes, I get it. You said that we were going to work together on this. You said it was vital.
It is, and we will.
I don't believe you.
Well, that's your choice. Just don't make any decisions on the research until
it's too late. You told me to show some initiative. Well, I have a new mentor.
What?
Mr. Hamilton.
You're not serious. Oliver, moving to orthopedics from CT is like choosing to play for West Bromwich Albion over Barcelona because you like the shirt better. It's absurd.
It's my decision.
To be mediocre instead of the best. That's what you've decided. What do you think you're going to learn by being a bone monkey?
Well, whatever it is I'll learn by doing, not wasting my life waiting for crumbs from your table.
You really think you're going to make a difference, gluing bones back together?
Yes, I do, and I think I'll have fun doing it.
This could ruin your career.
You don't care about my career. You don't care about me at all. All you're worried about is whether or not I'm going to
tell tales on you. Well, I'm not. I'm sick and tired of never knowing where I stand with you, trying to work out why you do the things that you do. Well, I don't think you even know yourself. So if being the best is being like you, well, I'll settle with mediocrity.
Then you and Mr. Hamilton should be the perfect fit. I hope you'll be very happy together.
Oliver slams the door on his way out, and Jack clutches her head in despair, until the novelty watch on her wrist starts to quack. She laughs at the absurdity. Eddie packs away the TB test kit and removes the isolation sign from what was Karen's room. Jack rides the lift down to the ground floor with several other people. They all step out, but she hesitates and stops the doors from closing. She moves back into the lift and travels up. Oliver joins Dan on the Keller ward, and they both observe Chantel speaking to Kenny. After a moment, Oliver turns to Dan and shakes his hand. Freya is lying on her back in her cot, waving her hands in the air. Jack quietly lets herself into the room and checks no one's watching. She gently places the soft toy she confiscated back into the cot. Then, with tender, caring fingers, she untwists the tube which has been inserted into Freya's foot. Jack's expression remains serious and detached as she strokes Freya's little foot. Then, she shows Freya the lights on the novelty watch on her wrist. Little Freya takes an interest and reaches out for the watch. As Jack observes, a hint of warmth begins to thaw her cold facade.